Good morning, Cornerstone friends. Are you ready for the day? Let us gather before we get involved with all those things that we have to do today. Today, the 22nd of July, is the feast of St. Mary Magdalene, and Ernesto has shared some thoughts about her, particularly those written by Father Richard Rohr. So I need not dwell on it. Just to say, I recall the former Archbishop of Cape Town, the Right Reverend Desmond Tutu, in a discussion about the ordination of women, talked about the emphasis of apostolic succession made by those opposing it. He said, "You say the apostolic succession derives unbroken from those who witnessed the resurrection of our Lord and shared the good news. And who was the first person to do this? Mary of Magdala." I thought when he said that, it was game, set and match. Psalm 139, verse 1 and 12 to 18. O Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. For you yourself created my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I thank you that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are your works, my soul knows well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was woven in secret and woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes beheld my form as yet unfinished. Already in your book were all my members written, as day by day they were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. How deep are your counsels to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I count them, they are more in number than the sand, and at the end I am still in your presence. Search me out, O God, and know my heart. Creator God, may every breath we take be for your glory. May every footstep show you as our way, that trusting in your presence in this world, we may, beyond this life, still be with you, where you are alive and reign for ever and ever. Amen. Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 12, verses 14 to 21. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. When Jesus became aware of this, he departed. Many crowds followed him, and he cured all of them. And he ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfil what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not wrangle to cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. He will not break a bruised reed or quench a smouldering wick, until he brings justice to victory, and at his name the Gentiles will hope. The psalm shows us that God is all-knowing about each and every one of us. The gospel extract comes after a record of Jesus healing a man with his disabled hand on the Sabbath, causing this particular group of religious leaders, the Pharisees, to fear what he was doing would expose the shallowness of their faith. God is all-knowing for sure. Let us pray for the church. The Bishop of Oxford, in his blog, has been using the Epistle of the Philippians as a guide to help us through the process of opening our churches. He says that there will be some eager to get back in worship in our buildings, and others who will be reluctant for a while to join gatherings beyond their homes. Paul writes that our Lord emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Paul also tells the good people of Philippi not to be fixated with the little differences of opinion among them. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus. It's in Philippians chapter 2, in the first 11 verses, if you want to check it out. I was very encouraged, being one eager to get back, meeting you all again in our church building, to receive the letter from Reverend Ernesto and Ade Adeyemi. It seems to me that the group who have been considering the procedures for opening our building had thought carefully about it, and have sought the same mind as was in Christ Jesus. Let us then be thankful that we have the guidance of all those mentioned in the letter, who have participated in that decision. Let us especially remember the Reverend George, as he will soon be restored, we hope, to health and wholeness. And for other reasons, our friend Peter Cope, who celebrates a birthday at about this time. Let us remember that our experience is being shared with churches throughout the world. In the church where my daughter worships in Australia and leads the music, they're able to sing and play instruments once more, but still stream the services on the internet for those staying at home. And this is followed by people who live miles away out on the range, who at normal times are only able to come to church, say, once a month, because of the distance. In South Africa and Central and South America, the virus is spreading wildly, in many areas beyond the resources of limited health provisions. The daily toll of deaths from COVID-19 for the whole world is now at its greatest level yet. Let us remember the Christians in those areas as we pray. O Lord, we beseech you mercifully to hear the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also that we may have grace and power faithfully to fulfil them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the world and for our city. The news from different parts of the world is not encouraging. The same mind as was in Christ Jesus is not apparent in our politics and international relations. International cooperation on research for an effective vaccine is enabling rapid progress to be made, reducing the time from years to months. But it is coupled with some rich countries buying up the immediate supply when it's first available, and at the same time reducing financial support for international agencies that could assist the supply to the most needy of developing countries. This same selfish me-first approach is leading to reduced international trade and economic activity. Tariffs may appear attractive to politicians, but they lead to higher prices, fewer jobs. Let us remember all those who are finding themselves unemployed. For the young people just leaving school, college or university to start their working career, or for those in midlife who have been in work for some time and have family responsibilities. let us pray for all who are ill and those who care for them. For all who are lonely, including those who feel lonely or lost, even when they're in company. For all who feel unfulfilled or feel they are failing in life and cannot enjoy the simple things that delight those of us who are well and content. We pray for all those who carry responsibility for the many matters that affect all of our lives, both big and small. Let us give thanks for all whose work has contributed to our well-being on this summer midweek day. Heavenly Father, we bring before you our broken world. We thank you for all whose labour will sustain us today. For all those whose decisions will shape our future. We give thanks for the beauties of nature and for the faculties to enjoy them. Be with those who are blinded to such beauty by selfishness or by disability. We pray for grace to all people today, that none may be guided by greed of goods or power, but will seek only those things which meet the needs of all of your people. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who emptied himself and became obedient to